Amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Appreciate the music this morning. What a blessing. And we did just turn the AC on, and I was about to die. So if you've got a coat, just wrap up around it. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 6. Let's look at verse 13, beginning in verse 13. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." Verse 14, Hebrews chapter 6. "Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." We have an anchor this morning. Christ is our anchor. He is the anchor of our soul, the anchor of hope. Amen? That's the title of the message this morning, Anchor of Christ, our anchor of hope. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love and all You've done for us and the blessings You've bestowed on us. We do thank You this morning that You are our anchor. We pray, Lord, that You would just help us to see this truth in just a clear way this morning. We pray that there's someone here who is lost, who doesn't know You as Savior. We pray they might make You the anchor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin the message just by reminding you that Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." As born-again believers, we have faith. We have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Though we have never seen Him, we have faith in Him. Not only in that, in Him alone, but also in His works and all that He's done for us, we have faith. We have faith in Him. We also have hope in Him. We have our hope again means confident expectation in the Bible. Hope means confident expectation. Again, hope in the Bible is not like, "I hope I have ice cream after church today." Right? I'm hoping. That's probably not going to happen, but I hope maybe I can. Hope in the Bible is, it's going to happen. I'll never forget again, Brother Weatherby, I was in a service of his when he was preaching on hope, and he made the definition. He said, "Hope means just a matter of time." Amen? We are looking for the blessed hope, the hope of His return. And listen, that's not a guess. That is a no-so. Christ will return one day for His saints. And I'm looking forward to that blessed hope. Amen. Hope. A confident expectation. It's just a matter of time. Again, today we live in a world of chaos and temptation and sickness and all the things that go on. We have our flesh to deal with that is weak and frail and fallen. And then we have old Satan walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And these are our enemies. And the enemy, again, is out to destroy us. Hello? Amen? You've seen that little cartoon that says we have met the enemy and the enemy is us, me. And we have to understand that this morning, that we have a lot of things bearing down upon us. There's a lot of storms in this life. Again, we know the storms of life are raging and the Lord is standing by us. What hope do we have in this life? What hope do we have against the world? What hope do we have against this old flesh? What hope do we have against Satan and his foes and his imps? We have Christ, our anchor of hope. What an anchor He is. What an anchor He is. He is an anchor to hold fast the ship. What does an anchor do? It holds fast the ship. It keeps the ship from moving. It keeps the ship from being wrecked. Here about a year ago, in fact about this time last year, me and Caleb, we're on Lake Texoma in our boat, and the motor stopped working. And here we are out in the middle of Texoma, it stopped working. And the waves were just taking us, you know, just taking us towards shore. I've told you about this before, and I mean, it's a rocky cliff, and we're headed that way. Luckily, somebody came by and got us. There's a big, long story behind that. The Lord really protected us. But if I had gotten closer to the shore, what would I have done? I would have threw out the anchor to keep us from going, to keep us from hitting the shore. I would have used the anchor. The anchor holds fast the ship, keeps the ship from wrecking. And let me tell you this morning, the Bible says that the world is without hope. The world is without hope. No hope without God in this world, the Bible says. The world is on a headlong pursuit, if you would, of being shipwrecked. Many souls today are shipwrecked. Again, lost and on their way to hell without salvation. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is there to keep us from being shipwrecked. Listen this morning, Jesus Christ loves you. He loves me. Religion is not a set of rules. Religion is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Listen, one day the trumpet will sound. Christ will return. Are you ready? Are you ready? Is your soul anchored in the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your soul steadfast and sure in the anchor, with the anchor of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you sure today, if you were to die, you'd have a home in heaven? Or would your ship be shipwrecked? We have a hope of salvation. We have a hope of being saved from the wrath of God upon our sin by the anchor of the soul, Jesus Christ. He keeps us from being wrecked. The anchor keeps us from being wrecked. The anchor preserves the headway we have made. There's several other points. I mean, I have thought, man, I literally could preach on this 4 or 5 Sundays. It's amazing how much you could use the anchor as an illustration. But the anchor is there to keep us comforted. The anchor is there to give us comfort. It keeps us steadfast, keeps us secure. But the anchor also keeps us from losing the ground that we have gained. Hello? When the storm comes, when the storms of life rage and the tempest is all about us, and, you know, again, if life sends you a curve, right? It does that every once in a while. Amen? The world, the flesh, the devil, all the things that are about to get us. If those things come about us, what do? We lay hold of the anchor. The anchor that is sure and steadfast. And if we lay hold of the anchor, we won't lose the ground that we have already gained. It just really concerns me to see Christians who are losing ground instead of standing their ground. Listen, Christians, stand your ground. You absolutely. The Bible says that there hath no temptation taken you such as is common to man. In this world you shall have tribulation. All of us experience trials, temptations, testings. All of us do. The Bible makes that clear that we're going to go through those things. But as we go through those things, we must realize that we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Anchored to the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We must stand fast. We must make sure of the anchor. And I would just, again, remind you, if you're here this morning and you say you're saved, are you sure? Are you sure? Do you know without a doubt? Amen? Then when the tempest comes, when the trials comes, when that loved one passes away or that job is lost, stand your ground. Lay hold of the anchor. Again, it preserves us. It preserves the ground we have gained. There should be no drifting back in the Christian life. We live in a world today that is teaching us that there is no black and white, that there's only gray. They teach black is black, white is white. Truth, listen, truth is truth. Truth is truth. The Holy Spirit leads you into truth, and when you find truth, stand firm in it. Don't drift back. Amen? You say, well, I read this book, preacher, and it says just the opposite of what the Bible I've been taught growing up and what truth I've learned. Amen? You've got to be able to read books and get the meat and spit out the bones. Amen?
You've got to be careful what you read. And honestly, we've got to be careful with what is going on around us. We know that we're in the last days. In the last days, we know that they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, that false doctrine and all these things will be rampant. All those things are happening today. Take the truth of the Word of God and hold fast to it. Don't slip back from it. Oh, preacher, I've heard this brand new doctrine, this brand new thing. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun. And if it's something new that somebody has found in the Word of God, some fundamental truth that they want to display to you, be suspect. Hold to the truths you have learned. Hold to the truths of the Word of God. Don't turn back in this day in which we live. Christians, when the storms and trials come, don't turn back. Amen? Hold on to the anchor. Hold fast to the anchor. The world behind me. Amen. No turning back. No turning back. I could think of so many things. The Bible says we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable. Basically means, Christian, be stubborn. There's some areas you ought to just be stubborn about. Amen. When it comes to Bible truth, be stubborn about it. When it comes to Bible methods, be stubborn about it. Hello? Amen. Don't lose ground. The anchor only keeps us from being shipwrecked. That's salvation. Not only does it keep us from losing our headway or losing the ground we have gained, but it keeps us from being fickle. That's what I wrote down. There are so many people who are so unstable. One day they're on fire. I mean, just lighting it up for Jesus. And the next day, they're as cold as ice. One day they're headstrong in love with the Lord. The next day, it is just like the opposite has occurred. You know, they just can't believe the Lord would allow these things to happen to them. You know, you run into people who believe the truth one day and they're certain about the truth one day, about the truths of the Word of God concerning salvation, concerning baptism, concerning separation, concerning all these things. And you meet them the next day and they have changed their mind. And then you meet them the next day and they've changed their mind again. Right? Man, unstable in all their ways. I tell you what, the anchor will keep you stable. It keeps us stable. Listen, I have confidence in the Word of God. I have a hope that is steadfast and sure. Amen? And no matter what comes my way, it doesn't change the truth. Amen? I hold to the truth. I stand fast in the truth. It keeps me stable. Again, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, our anchor, keeps us from being shipwrecked, keeps us from losing our progress in the Christian life, keeps us from being so fickle. The Bible says there are many these last days are being tossed to and fro. Don't be one of those characters. Amen? Hold fast. What is the kind of anchor do you have? What kind of anchor? There are many types of anchors. I had my boys run and get these anchors that we have because we've had several. All right? About 6 years ago, Brother Weedo's gotten us into using illustrations now. So he used apples. I think Brother Stone threw rocks at people last week. So I'm going to show you some anchors. I've learned a lot about anchors, really. I grew up fishing and all these things in ponds, but had never been on a lake in a boat up until about 7 years ago. And I went with Brother Terry. Terry took me and my two boys out fishing on the lake, and we caught some nice hybrids. It was a really good time. And we got the fish fever. We decided, you know what, we'll buy a boat. We bought a little 15-foot fiberglass 1976 boat. And this was a little bit like the first anchor we had was one of them little donut anchors, and it's long gone. It's in Lake Bridgeport somewhere. They're about this big around. Maybe some of you have seen them. You know, weigh about 5 pounds. Really no good. I mean, they don't do any good. Unless the wind's not blowing. Right? This is the second anchor we bought, and there's two of them up here because neither was this big enough to hold us in the wind. So we bought two and threw out two at a time to try to hold us. And Brother Terry, my fishing friend, who's also a pastor, he kept telling me, preacher, that's not going to work. You need to buy a bigger anchor. Here's what you need to buy. Of course, I wouldn't listen. I was looking at whatever's cheapest, right? None of y'all are that way? And so we used these for a year or so, and then we nearly drowned on Lake Bridgeport, so I bought a bigger boat about 5 years ago. When we bought the bigger boat, I said, okay, these are not quite big enough. I'll buy a bigger anchor, and we bought this one. It's real good if the wind's not blowing. But you know, I thought that'd be big enough. No matter which way you throw it down the water, it'll hit the ground and sink into the ground. So I guess this would be the third anchor we had, and again, it wasn't sufficient, and it kept moving. And so I saw these at Cabela's one day. I said, well, maybe this will do, and this one's heavy. And it's a really a nice anchor, and it's fine if you're in shallow water. So say you're in 5 or 6 feet of water, throw this thing out, and it won't move. And we have two of these, and we use these for catfish. And when we catfish, we'll throw one out the front of the boat, one out the back of the boat, and get the boat tight in the center of the two lines, and we'll catfish that way. All right? Still not a good anchor, right? It's heavy, though. So, finally, somebody convinced me. Actually, about 2 summers ago, we went with another guide on Lake Texoma on a. See, I'm already out of breath just by lifting these things. Yeah. It's not this, I know. It's not the anchors. We went out with a guide on Lake Texoma, and I can't tell you the whole story. I wish I had time. A real nice guy. And we had gone up there for a week of vacation. Some of y'all remember that. It's been 2 years ago. And thought, oh, we know how to do it now. We got her down. We've been fishing 5 or 6 years. We can stripe her fish ourselves. And we don't have to hire no guide. That costs money. So the first day we went out, caught nothing. The second day we went out, caught nothing. Had all the proper gear, the boat, because we were finding fish. Nothing was biting. And so we were sitting on the pier one day, and a guy just walked by and said, hey, how's things going? I said, man, it stinks. We just can't catch any fish. I said, I know. I believe I'm doing everything right. And the guy said, well, hey, let me come over and look how you're rigged up. We came over, and he said, he looked just within a second. He said, here's your problem. You're not geared up correctly, and here's what you do. And he sat down and tied up some of our fishing poles for us. It was real nice. Anyway, the next morning we went out by ourselves, and guess what? We caught fish. It's amazing. Somebody tells you how to do it, right? So anyway, I called him that morning about 10 o'clock, and I said, listen, I'd like to, if you hire you, just take us out. And I know you're already booked, but we'd like maybe an afternoon trip. We just want a learning trip. Just take us out and teach us. And so he agreed to. The next day, we met him like at 10 o'clock and went out with him. He said, all right, go out and I'll show you, you know, what to do and how to do it on that big lake. You know, Lake Texoma is almost a 100,000-acre lake. It's a huge lake. And so he took us out. One of the very first things I saw him do was pull out this big anchor, just like this one, and throw it in the water. And then we drifted back forever. I mean, just rope after rope after rope going out, rope going out. I said, why are you letting out so much rope? He said, well, you need twice as much rope as the depth that you're at. I said, okay. I noticed he had a big old chain on his anchor. He said, what is that for? Well, that's to when the anchor falls to the bottom, it'll fall, and then the chain will cause the line to drag the bottom. Otherwise, if you don't have something heavy on it, the anchor stays up like that. You want it to drag the bottom. So that's cool. All right. So anyway, in the process of time, after our vacation, he told me where to go. I drove by the hardware store. I bought the anchor. I bought the chain. And I bought 150 foot of rope. And that's what we've been using. And sure enough, it holds. Now, it has slipped now and again. But we've been on, you know, the lake with 3 foot swells, 4 foot swells, I mean big swells, where the boat's doing this. Actually, the boat's doing this, and the waves are coming in the boat. And that anchor hold most of the time. So we finally got the proper anchor that we needed. There are many various types of anchors, but every anchor, you'll notice all these anchors except the catfish one, but it has two prongs on it. If you think of an anchor, you think of the traditional anchor, you know, comes down with the two hooks on it, right? Two hooks on it. Let me just illustrate something for you this morning that's found in this particular passage. I think it'll be a real blessing to you. Look there with me again
in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse, just look down with me in verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto us, unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, think of that anchor having two blades, two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What is our anchor? The two hooks we find here in this particular passage is, number one, is God's promises. God's promise. And that, it's specific about the promise here. It's talking about the promise given to Abraham. The promise given to Abraham. If we were to turn over, we won't take the time, but we could turn over to Genesis chapter 12, in which God promised Abraham that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Everybody, have I lost some of you? All the nations of the earth would be blessed. Right? That promise was given to Abraham. That same promise is reiterated for us in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3. And I'll go over there and just read a couple of passages there. It says, and Abraham believed God, talking about that promise that was given to him, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 7 of chapter 3. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. It's important you understand in the particular passage, Hebrews chapter 6, when it talks about the promise given to Abraham, that same promise is given to believers. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham. That's what Galatians 3 verse 7 is talking about. In Galatians 3 verse 8 it says, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached unto the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. That's Genesis 12 and verse 3. Now in verse 16 it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not as to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This promise is given. The promise to Abraham is given. Two immutable truths. Number one is the promise that was given to Abraham and to his seed. His seeds. That his spiritual offspring, if you would. That includes believers. The promise of what? The promise that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Through his seed. He didn't say plural as in seeds, but singular. Seed. Galatians chapter 3, listen. Galatians chapter 3 tells us that seed is Christ. Everybody, I just read it. You can go read it for yourself. That seed is Christ. The promise was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. That promise was given and fulfilled by way of Jesus Christ. What promise was it? The Bible says that Abraham believed the promise that the seed would come, the Messiah would come, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He was saved. I'm telling you, the blessing is that of salvation. The promise given to Abraham is that of salvation. By way of the Messiah. Think of that anchor again. That two blades on the anchor. Two hooks. One of those hooks that holds us sure and steadfast is salvation. The promise of salvation. And the promise is given and God cannot lie. Hello? Listen this morning. If you're here and you're without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, get saved today. It's the anchor. It's one of the prongs that holds you fast from being tossed about in the world in which we live in. It's the anchor, one of the blades on the anchor that keeps you from being shipwrecked. One of the blades that keeps you, gives you assurance of life eternal. Amen? That blade, that anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. The promise given to Abraham to his seed. Abraham trusted in the promises, and so should we. What promise? The promise of the Messiah. The Messiah would come and live a perfect life. That He would die on the cross for our sins, pay the ultimate price by shedding His blood for us. Die on the cross of Calvary. And then on the third day, rise from the dead. That's the anchor. Amen? I beg you, I beseech you this morning. If you want a life that's sure and steadfast. Anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have, not only do we have a promise here, but he talks about the oath that God made. Alright, so God gave a promise to Abraham. Amen, right? God cannot break His promise. But He even went further and He made an oath. If He would, He swore. Everyone with me? Well, how did He swear? He swore by Himself. Why did He swear by Himself? Because there's no greater than Himself. Amen? Right? Like I'll say, I promise on my mother's... No, I wouldn't say that, no. I promise on the Word of God that I'm going to do whatever. Right? We swear, which we get careful with that kind of stuff. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. Got to be careful with that. Right? Amen? But here, God makes a promise. He makes a promise of Himself. For instance, we always swear by something greater than us. That would be like when you go in the courtroom and they have you swear on the Bible. Amen? Greater than us. Amen? Right? He swore. He gave an oath. What oath? And there's various opinions, but I like this one. In Psalm 119, it really gives you a cross-reference to this Hebrew passage. Psalm 110. If you want to turn there, I think this will be interesting for you. Psalm 110, I'm going to read it. So, Hebrews says that God gave this oath. And then it goes on to talk about Melchizedek. In Psalm 110 and verse 4, the Bible says, I'm going to get you to turn there now. God's oath is no greater than Him, so He swore by Himself. Here we see God making an oath in the Old Testament. It says, the Lord, Psalm 110 verse 4, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the Lord on my right hand. It goes on to talk about the priest being on the right hand of God and so forth. Listen. Melchizedek. Look back at Hebrews chapter 6. Talks about we have a hope, we have an anchor of the soul, both sure, steadfast, of which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. This oath that he swore. The anchor has two blades. The first part of the anchor is absolute salvation. In order to be steadfast, in order to be, again, anchored, you must be saved. Amen? Secondly, we see the second thing is the oath. We have the promise on one side, we have the oath on the other. The oath is what? The oath is that Christ is within the veil. That He is the forerunner. That He is the firstborn of the dead. Remember that little phrase in the New Testament? Everybody with me? He is the first fruits of the dead. Everybody with me? He is the forerunner. If you're the forerunner, that means somebody has to follow you. Who's following Him? Believers. Hallelujah. Amen? He is the forerunner. He's the first fruits of the grave. One day we will follow Him. He is now within the veil. That temple in heaven built without hands, He is now within that veil. Why is He within the veil? We know with Jesus Christ, again, He lived that perfect life for 33 and a half years. Then He laid Himself down the cross. He said, no man take my life, but I lay it down. He laid Himself down the cross, and there He bled and He died for us. He was buried, and then the third day He rose again from the dead. What did He do when He rose again from the dead? Hebrews tells us, we don't have time, but Hebrews says, He went into that temple made without hands in heaven, took His own blood, His incorruptible blood, and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven, within the veil in heaven. And now, He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The throne of God, the mercy seat. Why? Why is He within the veil? The Bible tells us several things. Number one, He was within the veil making intercession for us. Amen? He's there for me. He is there as a representative of us, of believers, of born-again Christians. He's there for us, interceding to the Father, to the Heavenly Father for us. He's within the veil making intercession for us. He is the forerunner. And we're simply going to follow Him one day. Follow Him where? To heaven. To heaven. What is the second blade? The second blade is the promise of our great high priest who now sits at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for us. Representing us. There for us. He has not left us. He is there for us. Amen? A man sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Hello? For us. You say, well, okay, good, preacher, that's fine. Do you understand this morning? I have an anchor of my soul. Throw it out. I'd throw that one out, but it would be tough. Throw it out. Two prongs. One is, I'm so thankful I'm saved. And that keeps me steadfast, knowing that I have eternal life in heaven and escaped hell. Brings me joy unspeakable and full of glory, amen? But secondly, I know that I have an anchor within the veil. So we think about throwing an anchor, we think about throwing it down into the water. Well, our anchor is thrown up into heaven. Right? Our anchor is within the veil. And our anchor is there, steadfast and sure, by the throne of God, interceding on our behalf. There for us, when the storms of life are raging, when everything goes wrong, when all the things seem to go upside down, our anchor is within the veil. We have hope. Look there, it says in verse 19. We must look at verse 18, the very last part. It says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Again, this is the hope, this anchor. The anchor is set before us. It's set before us. We're to lay hold of it. I can tell you that salvation's by grace through faith and believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, but you got to lay hold on it. It's set before you. It's like going to dinner. Wife makes dinner and you sit down to the table and the food comes in front of you. It's set there, but you got to take it to nourish you. You've got to take it to fill, you know, the stomach with food. Salvation has to be accepted. It has to be taken. It's been set before us. We have, verse 19, which hope we have, talking about believers, as an anchor of the soul. In this life, we have an anchor of the soul. Salvation and assurance and the high priest which is in heaven making intercession for us. And we must lay hold on it. It's set before us. We must hold on to it. Lastly, the anchor holds the ship. Just kind of want to give you this last illustration. The anchor holds the ship. The boat is being held in place by the anchor. The anchor. The anchor is there. In other words, Carla Abrams in the rehab center today is held fast by the anchor. Right? She has hope and confidence, Brother Tim, as well, because of the anchor of her soul. It's the anchor that keeps her from being shipwrecked. It's the anchor that keeps her from being discouraged. It's the anchor that keeps her on and on and on. Hello? Amen? It's the anchor. Storms can come. Temptations can come. But our anchor holds us. We have an anchor. It's my anchor, it's your anchor, it's Carla's anchor, it's Brother Mosley's anchor, whatever, it's our anchor for those who believe. The ship will be tossed to and fro. We put this anchor out, we've done it. We've done it in 3-foot swells, big swells in the water in Lake Texoma. We put it out, we might let that rope go all the way 150 foot out, just as far as we can to make sure that anchor holds us as good as we can. And we tie it off to the ship. And that anchor holds. But listen to me, if you're in 3 foot of water, if you're in 3 foot swells, the boat's still going to be doing this, right? Hello? You know one thing I found? If the anchor's really in place where it should be, what's going to happen? As the winds come, it jerks that anchor. What happens? It actually gets in the ground further. Right? As you yank it. In fact, sometimes when the anchor doesn't set, we'll actually pull on it to try to get the blades to hold. But the these old big old blades, they'll just get deeper and deeper in the ground as they're being pulled. And these really big ships I was reading about, these big ships with the big anchors, literally they'll bury themselves. I mean, the anchor will literally be buried. I mean, buried all the way up to the chain. It'll just bury itself. It just keeps going down under the dirt. The more you're tossed about, the more the storms come, the deeper the anchor goes. Hello? Amen? I'm glad I have that kind of anchor. Sure and steadfast. What an anchor we have. Two blades. Two hooks. The blessings and also the help. Two blades. Salvation and assurance. We have an unseen anchor today within the veil. I started off the message talking about faith. We have an unseen anchor. We believe in that anchor by faith. Unseen but sure. Unseen but steadfast. By the way, all of us, the cable's growing shorter day by day. We're getting closer to the anchor that's within the veil. Amen. I hope it's today. Amen. By the way, do you have that assurance? Can you say that? I hope it's today. Today could be the day the Lord returns. Listen, no matter what has come your way, we have an anchor. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, founded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored till the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. Though the tempests rage and the winds blow, not an angry wave shall bark or flow. Let me read the last one. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, where the storms all pass forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move. You know, this anchor we have, it slips sometimes. And though it's a big anchor, it's a good anchor, it slips. Let me tell you, Christ never slips. His anchor is steadfast and sure. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what the world may throw at you, no matter what your flesh may crave, no matter what Satan may trick you with, we have an anchor that keeps us so. The blessings, assurance, and the hope of heaven. Let's all stand.